with the practical omnipotence which would result from the possession of a direct and perfected knowledge. Now, this word direct is very important. Our present way of knowing is indirect. Our basic knowledge comes only from our senses. And as you know, senses only give you images. You cannot really touch the object. Actually, what touches is only the skin. You will find there is no direct contact with anything. It is through senses that we touch the objects. Senses are intermediaries. We don't directly know. Excepting our emotions, for example, we know directly. But most of our knowledge which we do from senses is through senses. Senses are like glasses. Spectacles. All senses are like glasses, spectacles. So all our knowledge is indirect. Sri Aurobindo calls it separative indirect knowledge. You are first of all separated from the object. And then you use indirect method to get that separative knowledge to possess the object in some way or the other. So it is a separative indirect knowledge. That is our sense knowledge. Then there is separative direct knowledge. Separative direct knowledge. Separative indirect knowledge that is seen by our senses. Then there is separative indirect knowledge. Separative direct knowledge. Separative direct knowledge is the knowledge of your thoughts. When you are thinking dispassionately, then you can examine thought. You are separate from the thoughts. But you don't use your senses to find out your thoughts. You directly know your thoughts. Then you have separative, direct, intimate knowledge, like your knowledge of emotions. There is a difference between your knowledge of thoughts and knowledge of emotions. With regard to thoughts, you can separate yourself from thoughts. But emotions, you are intimate. You are intimately tied up with the emotions. So emotions are known by separative, direct, intimate knowledge. And then there is knowledge by identity. Everyone knows himself by direct identity. Knowledge oneself, I am. That knowledge is not only intimate contact. You are yourself that. You are one with it. Now, this knowledge of which Sri Aurobindo speaks is a direct knowledge by identity. Perfected knowledge. That's why he uses the word perfected knowledge. It's a knowledge in which there is no error. You might call even perfect perfection. That kind of knowledge. It is only from that kind of knowledge that omnipotence and practical omnipotence can come about. This is the miracle that Sri Aurobindo speaks of. When Sri Aurobindo speaks of divine life on the earth, which is in contradiction to the material life at present, it is this vision that Sri Aurobindo has put forward. Now Sri Aurobindo says, therefore, now the conclusion of this whole argument. Not only then, is the upward impulse of man towards the accordance of yet higher opposites rational in itself, but it is the only logical completion of a rule and an effort that seem to be a fundamental method of nature and the very sense of our universal strivings. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo has spoken of four things earlier in the second paragraph. These four things that Sri Aurobindo has spoken, which are the highest achievements possible and which are being striven after, that thing, Sri Aurobindo says, that proposition is rational. And it is only logical conclusion. If you examine, this is the method of nature, of play with the opposites, first hiding and then recovering and revealing, and revealing to the fullest, plenary revelation, with full omnipotence, this possibility is rational possibility. So don't say it is therefore impossible. Because of this argument, now you can see the logicality of it, the rationality of it. Many people believe that all that Sri Aurobindo has said is to be accepted on faith, which is good. But Sri Aurobindo here, he says, it is not only to be accepted on faith, it is rational. All that has been said by Sri Aurobindo is logical, is rational. And this is the logical and rational argument that is put forward here. And he has given so many examples. Here are the opposites, here there is accordance. Here are opposites, they have been accorded. Here are the possibilities. And these are the possibilities which can be inevitably realized. Now I shall revise the four possibilities that Sri Aurobindo has spoken of. It will be a revision of the second paragraph, but it's good to revise it. It's a kind of a revision of the first chapter. Sri Aurobindo has said, first of all, that there is a preoccupation of man from the earliest times. Preoccupation means an aspiration. There is a difference between occupation and preoccupation. When you occupy yourself fully in any work, it is occupation. But when you go on thinking of something all the time, yet not doing it or doing partially, it is preoccupation. A mother is preoccupied with the child even if the child is not with the mother. It's a preoccupation. All her programs are decided by the preoccupation of the child. Child is in the center. Whether she should go at this time or that time to for a particular work or another work, it is decided by the preoccupation of the child. Whether you can leave the child at home alone or not, that is the first consideration before leaving the house. It's a preoccupation. Child may not be carried by the mother with you, but it's a preoccupation. What is the preoccupation? My child should be safe, should be protected, should receive the nourishment when the child needs it. This is the aspiration of the mother. All preoccupations are results of aspirations. So the chapter is entitled The Human Aspiration, and it begins with a statement of the preoccupation. What is the preoccupation of man? It is that preoccupation which will give you the key to the meaning. In philosophy, what is important is the discovery of the meaning. And the meaning can be detected from aspiration. That is why the first chapter of the Life Divine is human aspiration, because all philosophy deals with meaning. And if that meaning is to be expounded, you must begin with aspiration, because the meaning is involved in the aspiration. Therefore, the very first chapter is logically devoted to human aspiration. That is why Sri Aurobindo begins, it's the best philosophical beginning of a philosophical book. This is the preoccupation. Now, this preoccupation of man manifests itself in so many activities, which Sri Aurobindo describes in the first paragraph. And I deliberately not read them so that I can read them now. That manifestation, now read whatever Sri Aurobindo said, that preoccupation manifests itself in the divination of Godhead. The word divination is very often mistaken by many people as if it is divinization. It is not that. Divination, to divine is to guess. Divination means this preoccupation results in conjecturing of the man that there is something like divine. People may not realize the divine, but there is at least the minimum thing is suspicion, to suspect the presence of God, to divine. Like those who divine water, they can find out where the water is. Divination is an intuitive feeling, an intuitive knowledge of the presence of a reality. So, the first thing is that there is a divination of Godhead. Second, impulse towards perfection. Third, search after pure truth and unmixed bliss and the sense of a secret immortality. These are the four manifestations of the preoccupation of man throughout the history of mankind. Divination of Godhead, impulse towards perfection, search after pure truth and unmixed bliss, and the sense of a secret immortality. These are the four things which are expounded in the second paragraph by Sri Aurobindo in terms of thesis and antithesis of which we had spoken. That where today there is exactly the opposite of those four things, it is exactly in those four opposite conditions that these four great ideals are to be realized. Let us now repeat those four things. To know, possess, and be the divine being in an animal and egoistic consciousness. That's the first thing to be realized. To know, possess and be the divine being in an animal and egoistic consciousness. Second, to convert our twilight or obscure physical mentality into the plenary supramental illumination. This is second. To build peace and a self-existent bliss where there is only a stress of transitory satisfactions, besieged by physical pain and emotional suffering. And last, to establish an infinite freedom in a world which presents itself as a group of mechanical necessities. There's still a last. To discover and realize the immortal life in a body subjected to death and constant mutation. These are the four great miracles that Sri Aurobindo puts forward. His argument is that these four miracles are actually aspired after by man. In spite of all the things that are contrary here, man has been seeking constantly after these four things. These four things seem to be absolutely impossible. Now Sri Aurobindo has argued and shown they are not impossible, they are perfectly rational, it only means a logical completion of a rule of the method of nature. So if you know the method of nature, these consequences are only inevitable.